Thank you for joining me for another UnleashingFreedom.com podcast. This is Richard Wells.
What do microwaves, movies, and models all share in common? Well, they've altered our grounding in the true nature of the success cycle. Now, microwaves serve a purpose, and movies can powerfully deliver a message, and fashion models have a place, although the media certainly has pushed the envelope there. But each of these also have contributed to believing that results should come quickly. The farmer's wisdom that you plant, cultivate, and then harvest has morphed into a societal view of plant and go straight to the harvest. Author Jeff Olson, in his book The Slight Edge, writes, "Society today wants to plant the seed by joining the gym and then get frustrated when a few days go by and there's no fitness harvest. Taking recreational drugs is an effort to go from planting to harvest. So is taking steroids, robbing a bank, or playing the lottery. The step we keep overlooking is cultivating, which takes place only through the patient dimension of time." He later adds that TV and movies have contributed to the loss of perspective because they go through the cycle in under 2 hours. Just think of Rocky, for example. After you take time for character development and the final fight scene, there's only a couple of minutes available to display the cultivation element of his success. And it's all nicely packaged in a few cutaway shots of a guy sweating in a gym and pounding meat with his fists as part of a unique training regimen. In short, our attention span has been so diminished that we find ourselves bouncing off to the next thing or spending time in search of the shortcut instead of using the time to cultivate a skill, habit, or talent. In reality, Rocky would have spent countless hours in the gym to prepare for his victories, but we would be bored if the movie spent even 10 minutes showing nothing but workouts. But let's get away from the fictitious Rocky for a minute and consider the true nature of the cultivation process by examining the roots of American freedom. Education. That's right, without decades of attention to education, the American experiment would have been nothing more than a bloody revolution which would have replaced one forceful government with the next. But consider what made America the perfect environment for freedom. Way back in 1647, 128 years before the American Revolution began, the local legislature in Massachusetts passed a law requiring every community of 50 families or householders to set up a free public grammar school to teach the fundamentals of reading, writing, ciphering, history, geography, and Bible study. Towns with more than 100 families had to establish a secondary school in advanced subjects to prepare boys for Harvard. American founder John Adams, a beneficiary of this 100-year-old education system in Massachusetts, noted, "The consequences of these establishments we see and feel every day. A citizen born in America who cannot read and write is as rare as a comet or an earthquake. It has been observed that we are all of us, lawyers, divines, politicians, and philosophers. And I have good authorities to say that all candid foreigners who have conversed freely with all sorts of people here will allow that they have never seen so much knowledge and civility among the common people in any part of the world. Liberty cannot be preserved without a general knowledge among the people." Now, as a side note, it's important to realize that the need for education was universally accepted and even mandated in America at this time, but its control was left completely in the local hands and governed by those who lived among the students. Samuel Adams, John Hancock, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams are just a few who were raised under this New England education, and notable men from around the world like Alexis de Tocqueville marveled at its implications on American freedom. Now, to the casual observer, American freedom seemed to burst onto the scene out of nowhere because a few men wrote a Declaration of Independence and farmers who knew how to use a gun rallied to the cry of freedom. But those who understand the true nature of success will look for the cultivation stage and find that over 100 years of intentional education among the whole of society prepared a nation to reap a massive harvest of freedom that otherwise would have died on the vine in bloody revolution. Now, each of us would like wider freedom, prosperity, health, and success in our life. But our daily habits and actions get in the way. You see, as Olson puts it, the slight edge in life will get you one result or another. For either we will choose to do that which is uncomfortable today, like exercise, make an additional sales call daily, read 10 pages in a self-improvement book, or we can choose the comfortable, like stay on the couch, sleep in, head home early, or reach past the book and pick up the remote. Either way, we are cultivating for a harvest of sorts, a harvest of success or plenty, or famine and regret. In both cases, the impact of the daily cultivation of one path versus the other seems to yield very little in the short term. But over time, the results are astounding. So again, what habit today for self-improvement will you cultivate in order to reap the rewards of freedom for yourself and even your nation?
Thank you for joining us on this podcast today. Please visit unleashingfreedom.com for personal applications and hear more podcasts